Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Still, really? Seriously?
Still.
Seriously? Oh, gosh. It's like, what has to happen? I mean, we literally can't go to each other's country. The border is shut down between the
right?
U.S. and Canada. And you can't change the introduction?
Well, you know what? We did do a contest to our listeners to say, hey, if you come up with a better one, we will give you a prize.
No one submitted anything.
And I think that just goes to show you that everyone loves the existing intro.
Stand in solidarity with me on the American side of the border to say, because America needs a new tagline. That's not a tagline, a new intro. So help us make some suggestions. How do they send in their suggestions? Is it to danielm.com, ignoring the email, .@? What is that?
Yeah, you could just go daniel@newchurches.com connect us on social media.
And whoever sends the winning suggestion, I will give a copy of Breaking the 200 Barrier, my very robust online course that church planners are using all around the world. Whoever gets the winning new, what do you call it, intro, bumper, gets the new one, I'll give a free copy of Breaking the 200 Barrier that people will love. It's at edstetzer.com, and I will give it away for free.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, a few staff at my church did that when I was at Lifeway. They bought your course and definitely benefited from it. So
There you go.
Nice. Hey, perfect. Okay, so let's get into today's question, which is from a friend at We Start Churches, Casey Carricker. He sent this in via Twitter, so here it is. Do you think that video services will be a part of pre-launch strategies in the near future? And then there's a second part to that question, but let's start with that first one.
Yes. You want to go on the second part?
All right.
Because here's the deal. I think it depends on where. You know, while we're recording this, I'm actually looking up at the map, and I'm on one of the cable news channels, and it's got all these lists of where the bad spots are and where the good spots are. And I think, you know, there's some talk in Illinois and California of churches not being able to open for till in 2020. Hmm. So if you're planning a church and you kind of put off your fall beginning, you really can't do that again. And I'm sorry, you put off your spring beginning. You really can't do that again in the fall. And so I would move to online services until such a time as you can meet in person. Now, people ask why. Why not just wait? Well, here's the thing. In church planning, one of the things we've talked about, I think we talked about this in planning missional churches, Daniel. I don't remember. But one of the things we talked about is if you're going on a launch process, you have somewhere between 3 to 9 months. I know that sounds strange. Between 3 to 9 months from when you start meeting with people and you're telling them about you're going to start this church and God's going to do powerful things. And, you know, so people start expecting that, right? Mm-hmm. So even if they're not believers, like, okay, so we're going to eventually have this thing on the weekend called church. So I say 3 to 9 months because it's built around seasons. So if you start in January, you're probably going to need to launch Palm Sunday or around Easter. If you start in the summer, you're probably going to start in the fall. Where it gets tricky is when you start crossing over seasons. I know this sounds strange, but stay with me. So if you start in January, you sort of have to persuade people to wait through the spring, but you will start by the fall. But if you go longer than that and you're back into the winter, people are like, well, is this ever going to happen? And for the believers who are accustomed to church, they're going to be asking questions about that. But also, new believers need to be in church. So if you go beyond 9 months into another season, like, you know, we started this last fall and now we're back in fall, I think people are going to start connecting with other churches, which, by the way, is not the end of the world, but not your church planting strategy. So if my 3 to 9 month window is accurate, I think it has been based on a lot of experience. Now, of course, COVID-19 wasn't around. This is all new. So assuming, as I am right now, that the same impulse tracks, I think that if you were going to launch on Palm Sunday and you didn't and you put it off and you're going through the summer, you're probably going to need to go public in the fall. And if you are in a place that can't meet, you need to do that digitally until you can meet. Now, I would love to know if you agree, disagree, or have a different view.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I appreciate you talking about the timelines and how if you are already, because I know we have, I mean, personal stories of and in my life of planters that I know, and also of those who are part of our just kind of new churches community that are in the midst of planting, in the midst, they haven't launched yet. And even people who launched last year and they are online right now, even though, yeah. So, I mean, there's so many of these circumstances where right now the world hasn't stopped, yet we can't gather publicly. I was talking to a church planter just yesterday, and it's interesting because he's like, man, financially, they're awesome because they had a month-to-month lease and they don't have that overhead. And 90% of their giving was online, monthly, recurring. So, I mean, it's incredible to hear these stories of what's happening right now in this context. Yet, if you are in the middle of pre-launch, I agree with you that if you are planning to launch in the fall and you already began the process, yes, instead of delaying, definitely use video services as a part of your strategy. But I wonder, Ed, and I know there's no way to fully wrestle this down. But let's say a year from now, everything is kind of back to normal. There wasn't a third wave or that big of a second wave or whatnot, and everyone's kind of gathering together, and even mega churches are gathering, just hypothetically.
Yeah.
And someone's like, okay, I'm gonna launch. I'm getting ready to launch. And in their prospectus, in their timeline, do they include video services, or do they go back to, oh no, we're gonna do a monthly preview service before launching? I think that's kind of the sentiment that Casey was trying to get at too.
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. I think the complexity here is difficult to answer because to go back across your now sealed border at the northern side of America,
northern Alberta's side very of America, different than Quebec.
And Montreal is very, very different than what's going on in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, and that's true in across the states as well. So I would say that. And keep in mind, too, I know I'm throwing in more information here. So many of us were meeting in schools and movie theaters. Now, one of the things we're starting to find now, and I think you're going to find more in the fall, is schools, their revenue tapped. So they need revenue, so they may work with you. But you make a community pressure. Why would they want, let's say, 150 people in your church? Why the 150 strangers walking through the hallways of their church sitting in their gymnasium spreading germs, spreading coronavirus?
Yeah.
So we very may see that we have to meet online for a while. So here's what I would say. Back to my 3 to 9 month rule. I think right now you get another season, probably. Maybe not more than that. And that season may need to be online. But I do think there's a greater sense of understanding right now than there ever has ever been before. And I think that's new. And I think that's different. So I would pace to the best that I can the time that we have, but it's just tricky to know what's the best place to begin. So I would say you have a little more time, and yes, I think in answer to his question, yes, video would be part of that.
No, it's interesting because that's definitely on the church planting side of things. And I know a planter in Vancouver. He's very well known guy where it's like, okay, yeah, he's still moving ahead with launching the church in the fall, yet that's on the church planting side. As it relates to the multi-site side of things, that I think that's the second part of the question. And that I think is a very different reality. For example, we were in the middle of planting a new campus this fall, and we were this close to signing a lease. I mean, we were putting together the plan. We had the guy. It was just moving so well along. But with all that has happened with this pandemic, we're like, okay, you know what? We still believe God's calling us to plant a campus there, but we're just putting it on hold until we know what gathering is going to look like. Now, for us, what's interesting is we have a Spanish campus and we have two English campuses, and the two English campuses have essentially become one campus. Like now we're still having a variety of expressions contextual to the campus, to both of those English campuses, but online service-wise, we're not doing two English services. We're doing a Spanish service and we're doing one English service. So for us to start a new campus without its own individual service, it didn't make sense for us. So instead, what we're doing is we're continuing to grow our groups in that area of the city that we were wanting to start a campus with. And because community is still there and evangelism is still there. And so we're still moving ahead in that sense, but not really necessarily creating a new identity for a campus.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think ultimately that right now every plan birthed in January 2020 is kind of irrelevant.
Exactly.
Every budget created, every timeline. And so you just have to look at it again. I think that's what you're doing. You're looking at it again. Saying, yeah. What can we do and how can we move forward? And I think that's the right path. I think, So I guess for me, I think we're going to know a lot more in the end of June. And I say the end of June because what's going to happen is there's going to be a season that we're going to move from, wow, that's a loud person driving by my house. I hope you heard that on there. We're all living in that noisy place now. That there's a, in end of June, we're going to have seen what happened in Georgia. We're going to see what happened in Tennessee. We're going to see what happened in Texas. We're going to see what happened in Sweden. And if we're all locked down because, you know, the number of cases doubled in Georgia and people are dying everywhere, we're going to be talking a lot more about video launches and things of that sort. Actually, I think there's going to be a lot less church planting until people can gather if this goes on as long as the governor of Illinois talks to going on. If the governor of Texas is right, I think we're going to be okay. And smaller churches, which are often church plants, are going to be okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, thanks again for listening to the New Churches Q&A podcast. If anything in this episode sparked a question in your mind, don't let that sit idle. Just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches on your mobile device and send that question in via a voicemail. Or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right, send that in, and we would love to address it on a future episode. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you.